The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network, the Expat Broadcasting Group, the staff, management, or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time of the week again. This is Columbia Calling, and I'm your host, Richard McCall. I'm here in Monfos, Colombia, 6 hours south of Cartagena on the Caribbean coast and 14 hours north if you're driving up from Bogota. Isolated, authentic, forgotten Colombia. While I realize that this show is normally to attract you to Colombia, sometimes I wish to tell the real news and tell people out there thinking of coming to Colombia some realities about life in Colombia. And so, unfortunately, today we start on a somber note. While we should be celebrating last weekend's Independence Day, 20th of July, I'm afraid there's a somber note, a tragic loss of life, a tragic, senseless loss of life. 21 soldiers were killed in ambushes around the country on the 20th of July with skirmishes with the ELN and the FARC guerrilla groups in both departments of Caquetá and Arauca. That's 21 families now without a family member in senseless, tragic, brutal loss of life. How can we attract people to Colombia when this is going on? Despite the fact that these are in very isolated regions, this is something that's not going to do any good for Colombia, and of course has created further tensions in the social makeup of Colombia. We here at Columbia Calling, we lament this conflict and we lament this tragic cost of life, and our hearts and thoughts go out to the people who have lost loved ones this weekend past. Also, we have received news that there is American citizen Kevin Sutay, an ex-soldier who has served time in Afghanistan, who has been kidnapped by the FARC in the southern region of Guaviare. Guaviare department is two departments south of Bogota. So you go south in Bogota through Meta and you arrive in Guaviare, which is a conflictive state. Palm oil being produced there, and of course coca production. So therefore it's under the gaze and under the power of paramilitaries or newly emerged groups and guerrillas. Apparently this ex-soldier Kevin Sutay was planning to walk from El Retorno, south of San Jose de Guaviare, as far as the town of Inirida. This is some 480, almost 500 kilometers through the jungle. He claimed to have the expertise to do this. And a couple of days before leaving, he had bought a machete and was going on his way. The police warned him on several occasions that this was not to be done, that his was a foolhardy approach. In fact, here at Columbia Calling, I will make the bold statement that he was stupid to go out on this adventure. And now he finds himself in captivity by the FARC. He's been there since the 20th of June, so a little over a month. And yes, of course, this has created greater tensions, and the U.S. are watching intently at what's going on in our Colombian jungles. But on the 20th of July, when people should be celebrating, people drape their houses in the Colombian flag, wear the national football team's shirt as pride to be Colombian, we are mourning the loss of lives and the reality that there is another American citizen now in captivity. And so, yes, Colombia, what can you say about it? Because things seem to be going in the right direction, but as soon as we say that, something else happens. President Santos on Saturday gave a massive speech, which sounded more like a campaign speech, telling us not to be afraid of peace and not to be afraid and to believe in his policies. But right now, I can only imagine that his approval ratings have dropped immensely. On a weekend, of course, when we should be celebrating Nairo Quintana, an impoverished, a boy from the impoverished regions of Boyacá, who came in second in the Tour de France. This young man, 23 years old, king of the mountain, and second in the Tour de France, learned how to cycle through necessity and poverty. His parents did not have enough money to send him on the bus to school, so every day he cycled more than 30 kilometers to school and back. So yeah, there's a real rags-to-riches tale, something a bit more positive to end this segment on. When we come back, we'll be talking to travel experts in the form of Trans-America's Journey. That's Karen Catchpole and Eric Moll, a photographer and journalist couple who've been traveling the Americas for 6.5 years, more or less. That's 2,340 days. They've been zigzagging all through Canada, the United States, and now through Central America. They estimate that they'll be in Colombia for a year. And I caught up with them while they were here in Mompox, Colombia. So while we started on a somber note, we now lead on with two experts in the travel industry who will be reviewing the things to visit here in Colombia and the points of interest, and talking about their thoughts on my town, Mompox, and of course what they hope to see and experience here in Colombia. So, this is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. Don't go away. Thank you.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente, con chinchorro y atarraya, la canoa de bareque.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, your host, and I'm here with some celebrities from the travel writing world, travelers par excellence. Eric Moll and Karen Catchpole of Transamerica.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having
us. Thanks for having us, Richard.
Transamerica's Journey.
Transamerica's Journey. I stand corrected. Now, you guys have traveled everywhere. You've been on the road for 6 years, and you finally made it to Colombia 3 weeks ago. How did you make it here?
This was one of the more challenging border crossings. First of all, let me say we have not traveled everywhere. We have traveled to many places. On this journey, it is a traveling through the Americas, all of the land-based countries in North, Central, and South America. So far, we've gone through North and Central, and as Richard just said, we've recently arrived in Colombia, beginning the South American portion of our trip. Getting here was the more challenging border crossing than most, since there is no land road border between Colombia and Panama. It's just the Darien Gap, which is a 60-mile break in the Pan-American Highway, which meant we had to spend a lot of money putting our truck in a container and shipping it from Panama to Cartagena, Colombia.
That's the truth. And then we had to ship ourselves.
Yes. And I can only imagine that being in Colombia, being in Panama, this required some paperwork.
Actually, when the process was over, laid out every single piece of paperwork that was required, and it covered a queen-size bed.
That's a considerable amount of paperwork. Now, you've been here 3 weeks. You've been in Cartagena. I believe you've been in Valledupar, mm-hmm. and you're now here in Mompox,
yep.
UNESCO World Heritage Site. How long are you going to spend in Colombia?
Oh, we are predicting 12 months, but we're also notorious for underestimating. So, for example, this whole Transamerica's journey was supposed to be finished in 3 years. It's now 6.5, and we've only started on South America. So it's best not to believe our numbers predictions if it can be avoided.
I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. I'm outside of my hotel, La Casa Maria. There's this huge red wine, Silverado, which is yours. It's not your home, but it's your base, isn't it? I mean, it's got this tank of a container on the back. I'm trying to, you know, depict the image of this. And it's everything to you.
Yes.
You've been in it 6 years.
Yeah. It's best to think about our Silverado, first of all, as the third team member. Second of all, it's good to think about it as either a giant metal handbag or a rolling walk-in closet. So those are the two ways that it's best to think of it. It's no longer a vehicle. It's
our life at this point. It has everything from summer to winter, from city to hiking, backcountry, scuba. It's our garage, kind of. We got it all in there.
Yeah, I mean,
somehow.
The listeners out there probably understand fully that you're traveling for so long, you need everything. And obviously these things and the quality of the things that we're used to using for scuba and what have you are not available in every place. But okay, so you've been everywhere, or let's say in the Americas, you've zipped back and forth, you've been through Central America, you're going to spend 12 months in Colombia, as you predict, but possibly longer. What they're asking now is, what do you guys do?
Besides travel incredibly slowly?
Yes.
Sometimes in reverse.
We pay close attention. We do our best to talk to people, meet people.
Well, I'm sorry, step back for a moment.
Okay.
This is a working road trip.
Yes.
We are travel journalists, focusing on travel at the moment, since that's what our life is.
And that is part of why we travel so slowly. It would be our style anyway, but our work requires that we have more than a passing familiarity with the places that we visit.
Well, most journalists, people who call themselves travel journalists, don't necessarily have that in-depth knowledge, and we try to do this a little differently.
It's a point of difference.
Yes, I'm known for bashing travel bloggers and bloggers in general. Travel journalists who are worth their weight in gold are incredibly different, travel slowly, they meet the people, they study, they observe, and don't make fleeting observations.
Yep.
You know, nothing is a gem, nothing is a hidden gem. we try and steer clear of these awful, hackneyed descriptions.
Well, I am hoping we do find a hidden gem sometime.
Like an emerald?
Yes, an emerald halfway buried in the ground would certainly help us on the journey, make it through the rest
of
the way.
That would be fabulous.
So, that way, finding a hidden gem would be ideal.
So you're traveling. If hidden gems aside,
yes,
you're traveling and you're writing. And you make enough money to survive and continue.
More or less. Sometimes more, sometimes less. The idea is to keep things self-sustaining. Profit would be nice, but just being able to continue this lifestyle is really the basic goal. Some months that's possible, some months it's not. And it's gotten much, much more challenging given the state of the economy. Our work is based in the United States and Canada. The magazine industry there is really suffering. So, we've had to think a little bit more creatively about how we do things. But we're still here.
We adapt. We're doing more consulting. We've become travel professionals. We are hotel professionals in that. Not only before this trip have we spent many, many months of our lives traveling and in hotels, we have literally spent the last 6.5 years, nearly at least 6 years of that, in hotel rooms. You become a professional at some point at just being a hotel guest and analyzing things that way. So we've kind of moved into consulting. And now we're actually seeking our website, trans-americas.com, is a non-commercial site. We always intended that to be non-commercial, but we're having to adapt and trying to seek out a partner at this point, not to cover it with ads, but to the Trans-America's Journey, brought to you by some cool company that wants to be partnered with us.
Okay, well, this is a shout out. Anyone out there listening, get in touch. They've got a Facebook page. They're on Twitter. They have a website. I'll, of course, give Eric and Karen the opportunity to plug these a little more. But more about your trip. I mean, you started more than 6 years ago. You were planning, obviously, more time than that. When you started planning and thinking that you were coming down to South America, Colombia was largely off limits. Colombia, I believe, wasn't on your map to begin with.
Well, it was on the map, question mark on the map. The problem was we were beginning researching and kind of planning the trip back in 2003. Yeah, around there. I mean, in 2003, the security situation in Colombia was certainly very different than it is now.
Particularly for people like us, traveling in your own vehicle, it adds all kinds of other layers of complication, and that was an issue for us during the planning stage.
I mean, back then, the talk was, for other overlanders who were doing this, when you shipped your vehicle out of Panama coming down to South America, you would ship to Ecuador or back then Venezuela. Now Venezuela is the no-go country. And then if you wanted to do some Colombia, you would just fly to Bogota, Medellin, Cartagena and hit those cities, and you could not really travel overland freely. Now, just 10 years later, it's a different story. And, yeah. and the country, one of the reasons why we're so excited and have been very excited for Colombia is just that it's opening up. It's a fresh new gem. Sorry.
There we go. I cursed it all by saying the word. But it's true. I mean, but it's unusual for people doing a road trip of this length. But it, I mean, it's just so fascinating to think that when you started, Colombia was largely off limits. It was avoided. It was Venezuela or Ecuador. And now Colombia's back in. Look at how yep. things can change. Yep. Have there been other countries on your trip that have been in similar circumstances or dipping or ebbing? Or
you know, I think that Nicaragua is beginning to get its tourism act together. You can really see and feel that when you're in that country. But it didn't have the same challenges as Colombia. Exactly. It's not as if Nicaragua was emerging from the same PR and, you know, in many cases, real world issues that Colombia had to deal with. And it is remarkable that it's been such a short span of time to witness such a dramatic change in Colombia. And I don't think, certainly the 10 countries we visited to here, nobody's been in that same situation.
No, there's a dramatic media change, but not necessarily a reality change when it comes to Mexico.
Right.
You know, we still don't think Mexico is a problem as long as you travel smartly and avoid a couple of hot spots, just like you need to do in most countries, or certainly in Colombia.
Well, I think that's absolutely true. And you've touched on an incredibly important point that the government has been working on and every journalist has been working on, and of course it's the PR nightmare that is Colombia. Colombia, how many articles have we seen, or how many guidebooks, or how many blogs we say, so long a byword for kidnapping and cocaine, comma, Colombia. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just dreadful to always read that. You've got a PR nightmare right from the word go.
I will say, and you're absolutely right, I agree with you 100%, and I cannot imagine how frustrating that must be for Colombians. Mexico played that game for a very long time and was covered that way for a very long time. Despite reports from Juarez, Mexico, comma, Cancun is still blah, 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 or Mexico City is still blah, blah, blah. The government in Mexico at some point, perhaps out of just extreme frustration, decided to try a different tactic. And they waged a war of good news from Mexico. They hired people, they worked creatively with media outlets, and they threw every piece of good news coming out of Mexico that they could possibly find and verify into the air at foreign media outlets, and it changed the conversation about Mexico.
It stopped CNN and Fox from 24/7 saying, Mexico's dangerous, Mexico's dangerous.
They still said that, but then they also had to talk about literacy rates, graduation rates, increases in rights and respect for women in Mexico, all of these real world, real people, good stories that were coming out of Mexico suddenly that no one had bothered to talk about before were irrefutable. They were in your face, and it helped change the conversation.
Gay marriage in Mexico City,
right,
long before New York and much of the U.S. had it.
DFA Mexico City now is a poster child for urban development, urban expansion, governance. I mean, these are all very, very, very good things for Mexico City and for tourism in the country as a whole. I do think that Colombia could take a page from that, could learn a lesson from that.
Interesting points. We're going to come back to this. I'm Richard McCall with Karen Catchpole and Eric Moll from the Transamerica Journey. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
My name is Jacob Hornberger. I'm president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, which Congressman Ron Paul awarded for having an outstanding freedom website. Write us at fff@fff.org And we'll send you a free 3-month subscription to our monthly journal of libertarian essays and our booklet, Economic Liberty in the Constitution, which George Mason University economics professor Walter Williams praised in a recent column. That's FFF at FFF.org.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. Airlines love to dictate how you should book a connecting flight with at least a 3-hour safety window to make sure you don't miss it. Well, that's a bunch of poppycock. Often, you can find a cheaper airfare by booking an illegal connecting flight that leaves as little as 45 minutes after the first leg of your flight lands at the airport. Apparently, airlines don't trust themselves to stay on schedule, and the thought of hundreds of travelers sprinting through the airport simultaneously in a mad dash to connect fills them with trepidation. Plus, what better way to force you to drop some bills on local food, beverage, and book vendors than encouraging you to hang out for 3 hours? Got the waiting around the airport blues? Here's what to do. Normally, these too-close-for-comfort flights don't show up on the computer schedules generated by third-party aggregates like Travelocity or even the airline's own website. But you can call your handy-dandy travel agent and have him book 2 separate tickets. The second is a flight that commences at your connecting city. See how that works? Instead of waiting for 3 hours in Atlanta, Dallas, Chicago, or some other godforsaken airport, touch down, grab your bag, and go. The cost to book your trip this way should be no more than a traditionally booked flight. If you happen to miss your connection, simply turn in your ticket at the counter and have them book you on a later flight. Using this method, you're really rolling the dice if you check baggage. Chances are, that's not going to work out well for you. Go the carry-on route and make sure it's something you can move fast with. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
This is Kathleen Petticord and Leif Simon with the Live and Invest Overseas Minute on the Overseas Radio Network. One of the most important decisions you face when planning for a move to another country is to do with health insurance. This is a very personal decision with big implications. The first thing to understand is that with few exceptions, your U.S. health insurance and your U.S. Medicare are not going to travel with you beyond U.S. borders.
But you can find very good and very affordable options for obtaining health insurance in another country, whether you're retiring there or living there, depending on where in the world you're thinking of settling. In some countries, in fact, you can find full local coverage for as little as $100 or less a month.
The alternative would be an international policy. That is, international health insurance from an international health insurer. The critical difference between an international policy and a local policy is to do with geography. A local policy covers you only locally, only in the country where you purchased it, or in some cases, only in particular regions of that country, or only at particular medical care facilities or hospitals. For more information on making the leap overseas, visit us online at liveandinvestoverseas.com.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. Travel advice pop quiz time. It's fun to get sick while on vacation. True or false? If you answered in the affirmative, we suggest a Pacific scuba outing in the region of the deadly venomous reef stonefish, a critter rumored to have ended the lives of numerous islanders over the years. Its highly toxic venom ought to give your immune system a good workout. The rest of us prefer to stay at the peak of health at all times, especially when traveling. Here are some critical issues. Know your allergies. If you have allergies and are traveling out of the country, learn how to say the name of the offending food in the local language. Dental. If you even have a suspicion you might need dental work done, why not get it done before you go? Ever seen the movie Castaway? Bet Tom Hanks wishes he had seen a dentist before he crashed on that desert island and had to perform his own root canal with a rock and a... Never mind. Indigenous diseases. If you're going somewhere known for funky diseases, and every place has at least a few, our travel advice to you is research first and know how to prevent exposure. Failing that, at least figure out what to do if you contract a disease. It's also a good idea to stock up on prescriptions and get vaccinations if needed. schedule your vaccines early enough that you'll have time to recover in the event of an allergic reaction. Trying to do all this the day before departure? Not a good idea. What's the point of even giving you travel advice if you're not going to use it properly? Go ahead. Have a tooth pulled, half a dozen vaccines, and tease a reef stone fish the day before you leave on your African safari if you must, but don't say we didn't warn you. For more, visit JetSetterShow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
This is 90 Seconds with Joel Nagle on the Overseas Radio Network.
I have under $250,000 in assets I'd like to protect. I know of many people that recommend holding some of my assets in foreign currency. What percentage of this would you recommend and why?
Well, holding foreign currencies is sort of a natural add-on to the first issue, which is having a foreign bank account. Oftentimes people want to hedge their exposure. They want to protect themselves if something should happen to the U.S. dollar. They'd like to have some of their wealth in other currencies. We recommend that folks have at least 10 to 20% of their net worth denominated in currencies other than the dollar. We're not investment advisors, so we're not, it's not like we're trading currencies on a day-by-day basis, but there are currencies out there that over the long haul we think will be more safe and sound than the U.S. dollar. And these include currencies such as the Swiss franc, the currencies that we refer to as reserve currencies or natural reserve currencies such as Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. Also, the Singapore currency is very popular, as is the Brazilian real at the moment, but that's more of a, you know, that's more of a play on the success of the Brazilian economy at the moment. But those are the top foreign currencies for folks right now.
For more information on the 15 global strategies to protect your wealth, visit NagleLaw.com. That's NagelLaw.com.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
Va subiendo la corriente con chinchorro y atarraya.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm here with Eric Moll and Karen Catchpole of Transamerica's Journey. They've been on the road for 6 years, more than 6 years, all through the Americas, down through Central America. Now they're here in Colombia as their first stop on the South American continent. They've been here for 3 weeks. We've been talking everything Colombian, but we've touched on a very important point, that of the PR campaign that Mexico has been waging to improve its appearance and its how it's conveyed in the media. Karen was talking about that. And the similar sort of thing happened here in Colombia, but we're still up against it. What would you suggest?
I mean, I do wholeheartedly believe that there are good news stories in Colombia. I've only been here 3 weeks, so I couldn't tell you what they all are. But that's also not my job. The people charged with promoting this country need to possibly spend less time making fancy commercials and more time communicating with journalists, and not just travel journalists, in a different way, in a way that is a more complete reflection of Colombia as a country, and is in a way that looks forward as opposed to looking back. You know, what happened happened. Is it helpful to keep apologizing for it? Is it helpful to keep saying, no, 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 we're not that anymore? Probably not at this point. And the sooner that a different approach can be found, that everyone, all of the powers that be, can agree on, and the country can start speaking in a single voice, representing itself in a single way, the better.
Well, there is a wonderful, a beautiful new ad campaign. They have a series of commercials, the Magical Realism, Magical Reality.
Magical Realism.
And they are very pretty commercials. The problem is, watching that in London or New York or anywhere on TV, the first thing going through most people's heads is, Colombia, you can visit there? I thought that's dangerous.
Well, at least they ditched out of the Colombia, the only risk is wanting to stay. That was incredible.
They saw that as a bold play on the kidnapping. And I'm a straight up... you know, let me say, I represent that. I stayed, you know, and so, but I wasn't kidnapped. it's a tough one. I mean, Colombia has come up against, we've got more than 50 years of civil war, and previous to that, there was even more civil war in reality, and previous to that, it was even more war. I mean, there's always been some sort of conflict. Colombians
you know, Colombians, this hurts Colombians. Mm-hmm. And they're the first to say, no, everything's good now, nothing happened in the past. But they're going to have to come to terms with the past. The pretty videos, the pretty movies, the advertorial, you know, the publicity put on CNN and other things, it's only one part of the whole campaign. And what you say about not just hitting up travel journalists, actual, you know, let's say, I mean, it could be any type of journalist, but other people to develop a different image and a different concept, not just you can go here and you can go there and the coffee's great and everything looks pretty and everyone does his salsa.
Right.
Sorry. Well,
just need to get the good news out there. And look, all this 24-hour news cycle and all these stations, they need something to fill that time.
Right.
The scary kidnappings, deaths, murders are fancy and, you know, and it sells and it plays, but they're willing to cover the good news too if you have a proper push and an offensive push to get that news out there, and that's what Mexico did.
And it's interesting you say that because there is that 24-hour news cycle and it's, well, there's a dearth of news. They need copy. They need product. I mean, the producers are constantly, you know, clawing for product. Well, we're going to come back a little bit to your travel plans. Move on from the PR. We've touched on that. Now, you guys are going to spend a year in Colombia, probably more, because that's how it happens
because
on your road trip.
We are limited by visas here. They only give us 6 months per calendar year.
So yeah, so it might have to split here and there a little bit. But are you going to, I mean, you've been, you say, you're experts in hotel rooms. I guess you're experts in hostel rooms. You're experts camping. You're experts driving. It's got to get tiring going from room to room. Are you going to make some base somewhere here in Colombia?
We do plan to do that. At the moment, 3 weeks in, we're thinking Medellin will be that base.
For a few months at least.
Yeah. Open to other opportunities and suggestions, of course. We are nothing if not flexible. But based on our body of knowledge at this moment, yes, we do intend to spend a number of months in Medellin. For a number of reasons. You know, we hear it's absolutely lovely. The climate seems to be fabulous. It's an affordable city. You know,
it's green. It's functional. Right. It has amazing transport. And everyone's talking about it as one of the most livable cities right now anywhere, which is kind of something that we're excited by.
That's very attractive, the most livable city. Of course, Medellin did win. It was awarded the most innovative city in the world for, I guess it was last year, or 2013, 2012. And on the, it was written up in the Wall Street Journal, written up in just about every publication due to that. And it has come forward leaps and bounds. It's a very pleasant place to stay. And it's a good place to do business. And for you guys, being journalists, it's somewhere that the doors will open for you because they are looking ahead. You know, Medellin is a forward-looking city, perhaps more so than Bogota. Mm-hmm. I live half-time in Bogota, and Bogotanos will kill me for having said that, but it's the reality of it. So Medellin, is there anywhere else in particular that you're looking forward to see?
We're already in love with Cartagena. We landed there first, and we'll be returning there in a few days, and that city has stolen our hearts a little bit.
I mean, I'm certainly looking forward to Bogota. We're from New York City, and, you know, the hustle and bustle of big cities and the capitals are always something that appeals to us, to me. I mean, I'm born and bred in New York City, so, you know, I thrive on that craziness that certain travelers avoid. I love both the mountains and, you know, then there's San Gil and all the parks and mountains up there.
And for goodness sake, Colombia has a national park that's all about coffee.
Karen's favorite thing.
What's not to love? Here, talking about good news. That's great news. Come
I know.
On.
I think they should be promoting this much more
it's
strongly.
It's amazing.
The problem is they like too much sugar in their coffee.
Well, it's not only the sugar. It's they scrape in that panela into it, and that's the stuff you get at the roadsides or from the little vendors on the street, and it's essentially a warm Coke. I mean, just it's not carbonated. It's not carbonated. It's warm flat Coke. So for me, it's that, you know, I can't get my head around that. You know, it has to be a proper coffee. You know, even a Juan Valdez or an Oma, but you know, a well sourced small coffee farm, organically produced, you know, meant for exportation. There you go.
Yes.
Best coffee ever, you know.
But wonderful.
We found this so often in all of the coffee-producing countries, except for maybe Costa Rica, is that all the good coffee, I mean, that's foreign dollars. You know,
yeah,
that's,
it gets exported.
That's for export, and the lesser quality is often what stays around locally. And certainly that seems to be true here, at least what you see in most of the stores and markets.
Yeah, it's true. But then again, let's say that, you know, the local people have now developed a taste for the bad coffee. That's the coffee that they drink. I mean, I'm not going to say we have a better taste, because we can't say that, but we prefer a different style, different type of coffee.
Yeah.
But yes, Colombia has so much going for it. And good news, you know, basically pours forth here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a long time in coming. We have to work hard. And, of course, you have a vast responsibility on your shoulders as travel journalists. And I know that you write for a variety of outlets and across the U.S. and Canada,
Else? The U.S. and Canada has been our focus, mainly because it's English language based and our Spanish is nowhere near ready to freelance in. So yes, many newspapers and magazines in the U.S. and Canada. Our own travel blog we cover a lot on. That's trans-americas.com. You'll find our blog there along with a lot of other information.
We cover every. Sadly, I mean, it would be wonderful if we can sell a story on every destination we enjoy. The reality is, you know, in this part of the world, it's hard to even sell one or two, let alone the 18, maybe 40 blog posts we'll do in the end on Colombian destinations.
Yep.
So, I mean, we want to share everything, and it all goes up on our blog. It goes up slowly because wanting to share everything means that that's a full-time job, and one of the reasons why we're looking for a sponsor to allow us to focus more on that and not worry about the newspapers that aren't really interested in some truly interesting, adventurous or not adventurous destinations and cities and culture.
Yep.
It's a problem. It's a problem. You know, the marketability of South America, Central America, but principally Colombia is very tough. And speaking from my own experience, is, you know, one magazine will take one piece on Colombia per year, and it's usually based around Cartagena or coffee.
Yep.
And then that's it.
Yep.
So, I mean, you guys have to source everything. Everything. How far behind are you on your blogs?
We're finishing up Costa Rica.
We still need to
nearly
do Nicaragua.
Costa Rica, which leaves just Nicaragua and Panama.
Before we get here. So we're about a year behind time-wise.
Well, you know, if these things happen, you'll get there eventually.
Oh, sure.
One of the reasons why we want to rent an apartment for a few months in Medellin is to catch up on the blog along with other work.
Yes.
So hopefully that'll be happening soon.
Well, I wish you well with that. We'll be right back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. I'm with Eric Moll and Karen Catchpole from Transamerica's Journey.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
Just finished school? Newly retired? Looking for a change? Get certified to teach English and move abroad like thousands do every year. Global TESOL College comes to Costa Rica, the global organization that trains and certifies more ESL instructors than any other organization of its kind. For the past 15 years, we've trained and certified over 40,000 graduates in the field of TESOL. Live the dream of staying and studying at the beach. You will be living at one of our beautifully centrally located accommodation options in Jaco Beach on Costa Rica's Pacific coast. With a school, beach, and great restaurants all within walking distance, in a safe community with all the convenience of back home, discover why so many choose to earn their teaching certificate in Jaco Beach, Costa Rica. Visit us today for more information at www.globaltesolcostarica.com. That's global TESOL CostaRica.com. Mention this ad when you enroll and receive $50 off your tuition. Enroll with a friend and receive $100 off. The world is waiting for you, and Global TESOL College is your ticket.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikesGringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikesGringoLife.com.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente, con chinchorro y atarraya, la canoa de...
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I'm Richard McColl. I'm here with Eric Moll and Karen Catchpole of Transamerica's Journey. They've been on the road for more than 6 years through the United States, Canada, Central America. They're now here in Colombia, and they're here with me in Mompos. Not the first the first destination here in Colombia, but I'm proud and I'm happy to say these experienced travel journalists have made it to Mompos, Colombia, UNESCO World Heritage Site, and, well, I'm dying to know what they think of the town.
We love it. It's what, day 4, day 5 here?
Day 4, yeah. We rolled into town one evening. It is a difficult place to get to, which is why most people, it is not on the typical tourist track. We had a long, hard drive getting here, some rough roads, but we pulled in after 6 hours of basically driving on a washboard or rutted mud track, and pulled into town, and immediately our jaws dropped.
Yep.
And we felt like we found that little colonial town that we wish we had found in Granada, Nicaragua, if we had been there 15 years earlier, yeah. Or in Antigua, Guatemala, had we been there 30, 40 years earlier. It just feels like that kind of place. It's still the word that Richard uses. It's authentic. It's still a really small town. It has a certain magic to it. It mm-hmm. feels like, other than all the kids and their motorcycles, it feels like you've stepped back 50 years, if not 100.
Well, I had some friends from New York visiting not too long ago, 3 girls, and they came back to the hotel once in raptures, and I was like, why are you so happy? And they said, we counted 3 cars today. You know, so traffic is low, but motorbikes are high, and they zip around, and it's the scourge of let's say, the developing world. Motorcycles yeah. everywhere. But Mompos is a special place, and you've mentioned that it's difficult to get to.
UNESCO World Heritage Site.
1996 named, mm-hmm. but difficult to get to, or perceived to be difficult, especially when you're driving your truck and you don't know the roads down here. But that's one thing that I'm always touching upon is people should do these journeys. Mm-hmm. It's a spirit of adventure. Isn't that why we travel?
That's exactly what Eric said as we were inching our way off the Cayucas Tied Together ferry across the river yes. with our giant truck.
Karen was saying, I'm not sure we should have done this.
I don't know if we should be on this.
And Eric said,
we're here to have an adventure. All right, fine. We had an adventure.
Even if getting off, they didn't tie up the ferry properly. And as we got off, we kind of slipped a wheel between the ramp and the mud bank, and it took a couple guys trying to push us up the hill.
Adventure.
And then I'm sure they ripped us off. I haven't asked you yet what the radio price is, but we had a little fight about that.
Well, size of your car is going to cost more than 10,000 pesos.
Okay. Well, so maybe so, we didn't get so ripped off.
He said 15. I'm like, no way. We paid him 12.
I think that's fair.
All right.
The size
12,
of your 000. Car.
Okay.
Right on.
And perhaps because you have got the 3,000 peso discount, that's why they didn't properly dock.
No, it was after.
He wanted the money after.
Okay, perfect. It's possible. Everything's possible down here. But no, I mean, it's perceived difficult to get to. You can get here straight away. But you know, I'm always lamenting those people who arrive here, you know, not you guys, of course. I mean, you say you entered the town and your jaws drop.
Oh, yeah.
But we get people who arrive here and just
I mean, complain. They mm-hmm. bitch. They, mm-hmm. they, yeah, they're, everything's horrible. It's too hot. There's a mosquito. There are bats everywhere. Oh, I can't get the right, you know, what I'm looking for in the shops. But then, why do you go abroad?
Right.
I think herein lies one of the problems. Travel is good for nearly everybody. Mm. There are some people who are not meant to travel, and those are the ones who often travel the most. And those who it would benefit most, who would get the most joy out of it, don't either have the opportunity, the time, and money, or commitments, or, you know, the mortgage and the
whatever
three kids.
Reason.
And I mean, to come to some place like this, to come to Colombia, and not expect some hardship, and not...
I not mean, even that, hardship. Just leave home at home.
Yeah, it's different.
You left home for a reason, so don't expect to find the same thing in the shops. Don't expect to find the same streets. You know, you left that behind for a reason. You got on a plane or a boat or in a car or on your bicycle or whatever you did to leave those things behind.
We're here to experience something different, and that's the beauty of travel, to expect what you have at home everywhere you go and bring that with you. Then go to Antigua, Guatemala,
right.
A beautiful city, but it's lost. Certainly, I mean, you go in and you go, wow, this is a gorgeous colonial city. Then you realize, wow, it's just owned by foreigners, and it could be a Santa Fe, New Mexico,
right.
Basically in Guatemala.
We love walking into a store and honestly sometimes not knowing what we're looking at all. I don't know what that is. I don't know what you do with it. I don't know what to call it. And we're having that experience all over again in Colombia. Yes, we've been in Latin America for many years, but we're astounded by the differences between even just neighboring Panama. Things are called different
words.
Many
different words and names.
And tastes and preferences are all different. It is like another continent, not next to where we just were. And that's exciting for
us. It's certainly as different
really
as a New Yorker
excited.
Going to Texas.
Yes.
To New York, are going to a very good one. I like that. But and so we're here in Mompox, UNESCO World Heritage Site. There are works underway to restore the town to not, let's say, a former glory, but bring some things up to a certain modernity. What do you feel that Mompox could benefit from?
Well, we've been very excited to learn primarily from you, Richard, about some of the plans that are afoot, the refurbishing of some of the plazas, the malecón, some road work that's in going to be rolling out, some bridge work. This is all fantastic, and it's going to benefit everybody in Mompox, the locals, the business owners, and visitors. I do hope more people come. I'm reluctant to suggest that there needs to be anything beyond those infrastructure improvements done. You know, the last thing that you want to see here is Juan Valdez Cafe or any kind of chain food or beverage type of influx.
No, that's the beauty of none of that exists here,
right.
And that's what one of the things that makes it so great. It really, I mean, the writing is on the wall. A place this.
Yeah.
Perfect has to change. It's just happening slower than other places because of the situation Colombia has been in. I'm so thankful we get to see it now. I would have probably been amazing seeing it 10 years ago when Richard first saw it, but we're seeing it now, and it's still way ahead of the curve as to the other beautiful colonial cities we've been to, again, Granada, Antigua, and some of the others. It's, you know, I have no doubt we're going to come back here in 10 years and go, oh, this isn't what I remember. And you know what?
That's natural.
You can't grasp onto that. That means people are evolving here and change. And, you know, all I can say is if that's what you seek, now's the time to do it.
Yeah. I mean, really, I do believe that now is the time to come to Mompox. It's in a really magical spot. It has everything that you need, range of hotels, terrific places to eat. We had the best steak that we've had in...
quite a while.
Since Guatemala,
thanks
really.
Thanks to Richard.
Really. Prices are good. People have not reached their critical mass in terms of tourists. They're happy to see you. They are not annoyed by your presence, which can happen.
Just yesterday, I wanted to walk around and take some photos in the evening, and I'm always careful at night with my big cameras. And I asked Richard, is it cool to walk around here? And he said, looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no worries here at night. And that's not the case in much of Central or South America.
This is true. Now, one thing that we have talked about there, and it's something that comes up every week with anyone with me here on the show, is the infrastructure. And, of course, Mompox is not alone in Colombia. Colombia's infrastructure stinks. We've had 8 years of a president who didn't put any pesos into the infrastructure, and now we have a new guy who's promising lots. Well, delivering at a very slow pace. If any of you out there read The Economist, you'll have seen a piece in this month's edition all about the lack of infrastructure that's really holding the country back. But then, again, this is making it an adventure. And I do believe, like you guys, Eric and Karen, are saying, I do believe now's the time, not only for Mompox, but for Colombia. Yep. Now's the time to visit before the hordes come, before it's really discovered. Yep.
Bound to happen. There's enough magical destinations here. It's bound to happen. Yep.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the show, Eric and Karen.
Thanks for having us.
We hope you all the best in your continued journeys, and I think you will end up spending a greater amount of time here in Colombia. Can you just give a shout out, tell us what your website is one more time, your Twitter handle and all those other things?
Sure. The website is trans-americas.com.
Americas with an S,
that's right.
As in all the Americas we are traveling through, as we are not just the U.S. of America.
Right.
We are, all of North, Central, and South America is the Americas. And Twitter is just transamericas, one word, no hyphen. And you can find all that on the website, connections to our Facebook and Twitter and our blog, and anything else you want to learn about us.
And you can also contact us through our website. Feel free to do so. We'll help you out with any questions you've got, if we can.
That's excellent. Do look them up. These guys are well-traveled writers par excellence, travelers par excellence, and it's been a real pleasure to have them here. So I've been Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network.
Sit back and relax.